blood. Because I wanted blood. I bought a town told off a Swedish guy.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the I Never Want to Be Young Again podcast. Please send us your emails at ineverwanttobeyoungagain@gmail.com. Check us out on Facebook, I Never Want to Be Young Again podcast. Like and share, please. And you can check us out at the website, ineverwanttobeyoungagainpodcast.com. I'm here with Jeff.
Hi.
Hey, Jeff. And we have our, we tried to get Zach Galifianakis in as a guest. We couldn't get a hold of him. So we've got Joel. Joel, say hi.
Hi. I promise to be more awkward than Zach.
I think Zach Galifianakis ensures some awkwardness.
You know, he's a really approachable guy. Problem is, his agent's not.
His agent?
Yeah, when we contacted him.
Oh, well, I just went on Facebook and said, hey, Zach Galifianakis, you want to be on the podcast? He never replied.
Thanks for calling out my lie.
So his agent was Facebook. Anyways, we've got Joel here. Joel is a stock trader. I got that right?
That sort of thing.
Yeah, he does stock trading, some Wall Street type shit. His hobbies include golf, drinking. He keeps his amateur status for drinking so he can drink in the Olympics at his very best. And yoga. What else you got? Piano? Are you?
Yeah, I'd say piano's up there.
Come on, piano savant, I think was the term you used before.
yeah, well, plus a little autism, yeah.
A little that high-functioning autism. Joel, actually, I've seen him play. He's very strong at piano.
Very strong, like, yeah. I don't know if that's an interesting term to put it, but yeah, strong.
I enjoyed it. You played
semi-pro.
Yeah, I would say he's performing. He's got performing. We don't have much on credits yet, but we'll get to that. Maybe you can clip in some piano onto this. You got an electric piano, right?
Yeah, I was hoping to maybe add to the show in the future.
Maybe you can write our theme song. We're going to need that coming up pretty quick. I've known Joel myself for 15, 20 years, probably. High school class. I think we took English Lit together. We did work together for a little while, but we never talked. We were, Zellers. You worked at Zellers with Jesse?
Yeah, you were a cashier, right? You weren't...
No, they wouldn't make me cashier. I thought it was a good idea to volunteer for the toy section at Christmas time for keeping the aisles clean. They're like, okay, we need to separate aisles, toy section. I'm like, sweet. I like toys. I'll work there. It was awful. Kids, bratty kids all day long. What did you do?
You're tall. I was a stock boy. I was kind of working under Jesse there as the stock man.
Was he the stock manager, would you say?
I looked up to him anyways because he was so damn tall, but yeah. Yeah, I was like pushing a lot of carts around the parking lot. A lot of fun that way. And taking pallet jacks through the store at ridiculous speeds. We fortunately never killed any customers. We actually didn't hit any. And it took a few months of that before they actually got after us. Because there was a close call. Burning around the corners. And then, But I mean, it's efficiency too, right? We're saving the company money.
No, I worked in a shop. We had those really smooth concrete floors and the pallet jacks. If you got the one with the good wheels... Right, you could get some speed going.
Yeah, you can even do 360s on those if you like get them high and then you lower them quickly as you go through a corner and it'll spin around.
Oh, you were good. I got a 180 at best. You know, yeah. I maybe got the thing going backwards, and then I just decided to get my forklift license and that upped the game. That was a new level. Mm-hmm. Forklift driving.
Yeah, everyone loves that.
So, what do you got to tell us about? What do you got on your list here? We got Joel to give a couple
Well, I was just going to kind of go into some random stories about, I don't know, you asked me to come up with stories. I looked at the name of the podcast. I never want to be young again, so I just kind of figured I'll think of stories that, where, you know, I would have maybe some regrets, but also some good lessons on life. And when I was young, it was all involved drinking. So... yeah, that's kind of going to be the theme, at least to start here.
And you know what? I remember the first time we ever went drinking. We were in high school. We were in an English Lit class. We weren't too tight. We sat near each other. We were only a couple guys. I mean, English Lit is a pretty gay class to take in retrospect, but I enjoyed it, and there were a lot of chicks, none exactly. who were giving it away. No. there was not a loose vagina in the house, and except for Pete. And
come on, possible future guest here.
I know, I'll have him on as a guest. I did use the last name. I'm going to have to beep that one out, or maybe not. We'll see. I don't think Pete has a very good lawyer, but we went to study. We went to study poetry. So we went to chapters, get ourselves a Starbucks, go over some poetry stuff, and we ran into a car full of friends of mine from Brookswood who were just happened to be driving through going to a party. So we made it as far as the parking lot of the place to study. And correct me if I'm wrong, Joel, this might have been a surprising turn of events for you, as you probably were intending to go study that night.
Yeah, kind of. I never really fully was intending to study.
I don't study very well. I was hoping you were going to teach me.
I really can't stand it too much. But
You seemed quite a bit smarter than me in the class, so I'm like, I'm just going
to... a good actor that way, so...
Oh, you nailed it.
I was in the wrong class. Drama would have been my forte.
But we ended up going drinking. Joel actually met a chick. He met a girl. What do we do? Do we end up at your house and just, like, sleep in for the test? Is that where it went? Was that the series of events, or was that a different night?
No, we lost track of time the day of the test. It might have been the next day, though. Yeah. So like, oh, let's just go for breakfast. We have quite a while left, right? We didn't have cell phones with accurate, you know, with atomic time going on at the time. So
we had the provincial, the final test for this thing, and it's like 50% of our grade or 60 or 80. I don't remember. High school was a long
40,
time ago.
50, I think, yeah.
But we'd woke up late, and then we're like, well, you know, it starts at 10, but you're supposed to check in at 9 because it's kind of a big deal, because at 10 o'clock, they shut the doors, and it's locked. There is no going back. And on the way there, I'm like, oh, man, I got a hangover. I need some breakfast. So we got breakfast.
I never say no to breakfast.
And the people at Ricky's, hey, shout out to Ricky's in Cloverdale. Proud sponsor of the We'll Never Want to Be Young Again podcast. We told them that we were late for a test, and they got our breakfast like in a hot damn.
Oh, well, that's special.
They did. Wow. And we didn't have any money to tip them because we were teenagers. Yeah. But
and they knew that going into it, and they just, as a nice gesture, they gave you that good service, even though you weren't going to pay for it.
But they knew 15 years ago, years later, I might promote them on a podcast nobody's listening to.
They don't work there anymore.
And if it weren't for them, I'd be on the street right now. So,
yeah, because without passing
English Lit, I don't know what I would have done.
It's opened so many doors for me as well in my car sales chosen profession. But then we made it in. So I guess the teacher, she's calling our parents. She's making a deal about this. She's acting everyone. Do you know where they are? And going nuts, and she thinks we're going to be locked out because I think it looks bad for her if a certain amount of her students fail, right? And when we showed up in the nick of time, I remember my dad pulled in the parking lot, and we're walking in. He's like, pulls in. I think he screeched his tires, jumps out of his truck, like, what the fuck are you doing? And we're like, oh, I'm just going for a test. I'm late, Dad. I got to go. I know, your fucking teacher called me. And so we got in there, and we walked in the door, and what did we get when we walked in the door?
Oh, the applause. I still remember it well.
Everybody clapped. The vice principal, I guess, stands by the door to make sure there's no funny business. Uh-huh. And, like, he was shutting it as I'm just like, oh, hey, sorry, excuse me. In we go, and clapping. I did not expect, because we had no idea such a big deal was being made of it before we got there. We're just like, well, we're going to show up.
I actually saw you guys show up that day, and I saw your dad show up and yell at you. I didn't have a test to take, so I was in no hurry to do anything, and I didn't know that was the context. But now I do.
Hmm. There you go.
But you made the test.
Comes full circle.
And apparently I didn't take this test.
No, you weren't in English Lit.
Huh, there you go.
I actually got approached by that teacher. Because I had her in grade 9 English, Miss Shirley. You remember Miss Shirley?
No.
Shout out to Miss Shirley.
No.
You bitch. Yeah. You dusty old broad.
She had me in her sights a lot of the year, that's for sure.
I was in her English class, and back when I had my like Kurt Cobain hair, and I smelled like weed all the time, and she would address the class. She'd be like, hey guys, I've got a very sensitive nose, and I know that somebody in here stares at me directly in the eyes. Smells like marijuana. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Because I think one time I'd fallen asleep in that class, and she let people, like, put confetti on me and stuff, because I was out. And I, I lean over to the guy beside me. And me and him, we sat side by side, but we didn't talk much. I don't know why. And I'm like, do I smell like weed? And the guy's like, nah, do I smell like weed? So I was like, oh, this is the wrong person to ask.
Blind leading the blind, yeah.
Yeah. But she approached me. She approached me in when I registered for the class, and I'm well-read, and I was kind of excited to take the class, and I was less of a stoner. Not 100%, but I was less.
But she made assumptions. She made visual assumptions about you and who you were and how smart you were because you smell like weed.
She did that, yes. She, well, I guess I did come to class high. I mean, that to her credit, but she did approach me in the class and said, you might not want to take this. She called it over my head.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I don't really think this is for you. And I said, I'm taking the class. I don't think you can stop me. You know, oh, no, she's backpedaling. Because in retrospect, if I ever went to the school board and said, yeah, this teacher tried to stop me from taking her class, and, you know, she probably could have gotten into some trouble, but... who gives a fuck? I'm not going to kick up dust over that. But I ended up getting a B in her class.
And I think, I don't know, maybe she was just hyper intelligent and she knew that that would, you know, to prove her wrong, you'd actually really give her in the river, right? Like, I don't know.
She well, did. That would be diabolical, that level of planning.
I wouldn't.
To insult a boy to his face about his appearance and the generalizations you've made about him. Just to motivate him to read.
I don't think she was basing it on appearance. She was basing it on experience. Yeah. I was in her class, and I was a bit of a fuck up.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie.
But you've been judged before for sort of that look, you know, that mm-hmm. era. You know, you get yep. the dyed hair or whatever, and you know, you maybe smell like weed. Like I think, didn't you try to get a job at a bookstore?
I got a job at a bookstore,
and they didn't believe you that you were into books, right?
They did a, it was the weirdest thing. I did a group interview, which I'd never done before, for Christmas staff. There's two middle-aged women hosting, doing the interview. And then I'm sitting with three other people, which are all middle-aged women. So it's a room full of five middle-aged women and me. And I think I wore a collared shirt, but Hawaiian shirts were in. Mm-hmm. I may have worn a Hawaiian shirt to this interview. And I felt like an idiot because everyone's wearing beige. Mm-hmm. And, they're like, and my spelling's atrocious. That is one thing. So they're like, that doesn't make you look very literate in a bookstore. And I didn't think there'd be such a, I thought it would be like, do you have any work experience, blah, blah, blah. No, they're like, how many biographies have you read? How many historical books have you read? And I had finished reading like Schindler's List. So I put that on there. Somebody gave me a copy of Nietzsche and Beyond Good and Evil. I put that on there. I just put the most impressive stuff I could think of. I did Romeo and Juliet and Hamlet in school. I've read a few books and I made a list. I tried to make it look as good as I could considering I'm in a room full of, and during we handed them in, and this is the kind of thing I think, okay, thank you for coming. Go home. We'll call you. No, then they quiz you on it. Holy shit. And I'm so glad I didn't lie because <Yeah. laughs> I didn't see that coming. And I could back. I'm like,
they're like, how do you spell Nietzsche? You're like,
oh no, I spelled that wrong on the thing.
I think everyone spells Nietzsche wrong.
I'm not German, and but he had a section in this book, Beyond Good and Evil, that was just one-liners, and fucking anybody could read these. There were fortune cookies. It was like four pages of fortune cookies. I belted out a couple of quotes because they were cool and clever, and they're like, okay, Schindler's List. Yeah, I'm like, yeah. You know, released his workers that he imprisoned first. You know, and yeah, I got the job. And I remember they had these meetings at the Willowbrook Mall. This was Cole's Bookstore. Shout out to Cole's Bookstore.
Yeah, still around somehow. Not many others are.
Well, you know what? They're all owned by Chapters. But
fair enough. Indigo.
Yeah, and actually Cole's Bookstore was a little bit more the bookstore you go if you want to talk to people and get service, whereas Chapters is a big mall. That's the idea. Little bookstore, big bookstore.
You wouldn't have to take that test at a Chapters.
Oh, no. You just have to, like, do the alphabet. But I was approached by a general manager or something. He's like, listen, you sold the most amount of Avid Reader cards because they're $5 and they give you a discount on books. And he's like, you sold the most amount of Avid Reader cards. How did you do it? I'm like, the boss told me I was supposed to ask everybody to buy this card. So I asked everyone. And what I didn't say was, because it gave you 5% off your purchase, right? And I knew that if you were buying more than $50 worth of books, it was free. I'm like, hey, you want a card for like, it wasn't 5%, whatever. Basically, I told people it was free when it really cost them $5, but it was free with their purchase. So I kind of lied, but I sold a lot of those cards. I like won something in a contest, I think. It was great. Mm. Knew it was destined for sales.
Your first sales gig, and yeah, you learned the value of lying.
No, on the board.
I sold weed so I could buy cigarettes well before I did that. So essentially, but that's a product that sells itself.
This is true.
Both.
Cigarettes. Apparently, Nevada is proving that right now.
Oh, that's going to be.
They're already running out of weed, and they're even calling it like a.
They're running out of weed.
Statewide emergency, because it's doing way better than they expected.
Where is this
again? They legalize it in Nevada.
Nevada. So, it must be fucking boring in Nevada that they run.
And there's Vegas. I mean, I'm sure Vegas accounted for like 70% of that.
Oh, nice.
Because of this drought they have with weed.
Weed is legal in Vegas.
Yeah, man. I was thinking next month, you done?
They're pointing to Canada.
I got a bachelor party coming up.
Canada.
This is true.
Provide enough weed when they legalize.
Well, we're supposed to legalize like... any day now? Is that the thing? 2018?
According to Trudeau.
It's Canada Day 2018 is when he said. Like, I think that's the date.
Canada Day? That's tacky. 420 would be funny. You know, Hitler's birthday. And, because I think I'd read that somewhere. I didn't even believe it when I read it. But to legalize it on Canada Day, I mean, Canada Day is about Canada's... I'm going to call it independence, but we all know that's fairly loose. And not about weed.
Yeah, you don't want to change the focus.
Canada Day is just signing day on a document, right?
Still, it's when we celebrate the birthday.
Sure.
So.
Yeah.
But it's meaning behind it. I mean, if you made weed legal on Christmas, right? Like, you're taking away from Christmas a little. Mm-hmm. If you made weed legal on Remembrance Day, and for our American and UK listeners... Remembrance Day is
Veterans Day.
Veterans Day in Canada. That wouldn't land very well, right?
Mm. I don't know what's wrong with 420. That would be celebrated by many. It already is.
You
so.
Know, who cares Hilarious. About Hitler's birthday? There's other people that are born that day. That's a fact.
Yeah. Have I heard of any of them?
There's 364
my buddy, Jeremy.
On birthdays every day.
Sorry, who?
And that's a fact, Jeff. Thank you for that.
Facts.
Jeff, we were talking about this off air, has no idea how he knows Joel, has just always known Joel.
I'm going to say generally speaking from high school, I do know that.
I
don't remember necessarily the first time I talked to you. I have a bad memory when it comes to things like that.
Well,
do you remember the first time you talked to me?
No, it's funny. We're kind of in the same boat on that. It was.
Sweet.
It
I
was,
don't feel so bad.
It was probably with Trevor. Just at
mean,
some kind of.
I don't mean to diminish it at all. But I just don't remember so many things, even things that are special to me.
Well.
You know.
That's. I think that's good. We can kind of share the non-memory then of meeting each other.
You know what? The first time I remember seeing the two of you together would have been when we lived beside that pub. The Cloverdale Station. Shout out to the Cloverdale Station.
Oh, yeah.
Closed, by the way.
Joel, did you come to Jeff's sausage party in the field? There were some bathtubs with fires in them. There was some furniture. There were some like sofas and a
big
tarp for a tent. Were you there?
No, I've heard a lot about it, but I
really?
Think I've no? been to some field parties
was
with you.
Dan
but
Dan there stealing beer?
I think Dan was there.
Okay.
Maybe I was there too. Yeah, that was a foggy one. That was.
Did you steal beer?
I don't usually steal beer.
You don't seem like a beer poacher.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like me.
No, I think it was, but it's nobody cares really.
No.
That was just a fun time.
Well,
I think that
I don't care until I run out of beer. Then I'm kind of pissed. I'm like, motherfucker.
That's something that's truly missing from my life. You know, you don't really have just bare open field parties when people actually have houses, but when you're young and you're just loiterers.
Just looking for
like,
a place to party,
let's find a field.
Right?
And yeah, those are actually, they have a lot of charm to them.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Stokes Pit and start a little fire with what we find laying around, you know? Mm. Good old days. We should do that. And then drive home drunk.
Not right now, though, because they're taking a real hard line on that.
Yeah, well, I live in the country, man. So No. The river's not too far away.
No, it doesn't matter. No, there's right now there's fire bans throughout the whole province.
Oh,
and
I thought you were talking about drinking and driving. You're talking about fire bans.
Oh, because we were talking about going to the gravel pit and
yeah.
having a fire. And
no.
Sorry, I misunderstood you. But they're taking a very hard line on that right now.
It's a dry summer right now. No, you want to be careful. This time of year, I even respectfully try not to do it in my backyard, you know?
Yeah.
I
they're saying no yeah. barbecues in some areas. No barbecues.
Hmm. I'd move.
It's temporary. It's Man. For like the month.
I can't go that long without my barbecue chicken. Joel, that was good chicken. Did you enjoy your
Damn
chicken
straight.
You had for dinner today?
I did.
Yeah, I had some. Thank you.
Man, I love to barbecue. I love my barbecue.
What's not to love? I find it interesting, though, with these wildfires. It seems like most people, I know like three different people who've either lost a cabin or have like a cabin under threat.
Oh, dear.
Like, I don't know. It seems like it is affecting a lot of people that are not near them because of all these lakes like Loon Lake and such that are going up in flames.
Mm-hmm. You got to think the parameter of the fire. Like the fire is big, but it's got a 360 degree danger zone. Like it moves outwards. It doesn't flow like water.
Mm. But it seems like they're doing a pretty good job of at least there's been no injuries or deaths yet. They certainly didn't do that great in Washington a couple of years ago there.
Yeah. Well, forest fires are a bitch. Jeff was saying in one of our pre-episodes that we're going to release at a later date that he doesn't think there's an excuse for taking more than 2 days.
I think 2 days to put out a forest fire.
Which
is,
I then again said he's expecting a lot out of it's
I'm
we'll call this a natural disaster.
I'm expecting an Air Force full of water tankers. You know, I'm expecting there to be a company. It just does this.
I think it's got to be more like a lot more controlled burns because we had that. It was the last thing I expected this year. I'm like, oh, it's raining all June. At least we're not going to have a lot of fires this year. But of course, you get all this grass that grows, and then it's just tinder after a couple days, weeks of drought. Like,
you know what? We want these houses that are out, like, you know, in some beautiful area on some mountain with like trees and stuff. But then if there's a fire, you know, it's going to come and it's going to burn down our whole community that we built. That's probably very nice. And I understand that they don't want to, you know, log and they don't want to do controlled burns in this really nice, let's call it a resort area. But if you don't want to have, like, a protective perimeter of, like, non-flammable things around your place that's going to burn every couple of years, you should have to have sprinklers, like, around your whole town. That are probably futile, but if you don't want to cut those trees down, like, cut down the trees or build yourself a sprinkler. Because you shouldn't be, like, panicking everybody. You should just be letting the forest burn.
But if you have a sprinkler system, you're going to run out of water.
Sure. But, I mean, the only reason we worry about forest fires is because they're going to burn down people's houses and factories.
Yeah.
That's the only
their destructive reason. Nature, yeah.
But it's just fine if they exist without that. So it's our own fault for building houses there.
Yeah, I guess we're getting in the way of what naturally happens. Even if we start the fire, fire itself is natural, even if it's some idiot with a cigarette. But
the reason that some of these people are worried about their cabins is that their parents built them or whatever. They're 50 years old. It's not like
before
fires happen to these places very often. Sure. And every year it's kind of getting worse. Or the potential for these kind of things is getting worse.
But then again, more and more people are living up there too. Like there was now with the housing crisis down here, it's expensive to live in Vancouver area, right? The greater Vancouver area.
But over the place, they're still building these complexes in the forest. I mean, even North Vancouver.
Yeah, but that's North Vancouver is a...
Well, doesn't get dry enough. We're still temperate rainforest, right?
Yeah, and...
Is that...
It could be dry enough. I feel like that's where your fleet of bombers is going to go. You know, they're going to take care of the rich people.
Yeah,
they pay the most taxes. Or some of them pay less than us.
Smart ones.
Vote Trump.
Yeah. He's not my president, which is a fact.
You know,
yeah,
it's just great.
Kind of a prime minister.
It's great that we can say that. But, you know, I know our prime minister gets some shade, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still hoping for him.
Yeah, you know, he gets some deserved shade, some undeserved shade. People are very reactionary, and there's a lot of righteous anger out there right now. They blame him directly for this whole legal case where, you know.
Oh, the Cotter thing?
The Cotter thing. Yeah. It's like, yeah, they're like, oh, Trudeau's just handing him money. It's like, no, that's not how it's working.
No, you know? A judge did.
Yeah. And Trudeau doesn't really, what can Trudeau do in that situation? He's just kind of being, I guess he's being smart about it and just saying hands off, but people are still blaming him. Like,
well, doing nothing is worse than doing something wrong sometimes.
But yeah, but what's he supposed to do? Like, no. I disagree or I agree, because, you know, internationally, a lot of people do agree with this. You know, you
people
gotta
like
follow,
their leaders to take a stance. They don't like them to sit in the gray area. Okay. He's supposed to be our country leader, and he's got to weigh in on subjects where he doesn't need to, but it's good to. Fuck, that is one thing Trump does right. He weighs in on everything.
And then changes his mind.
But he does it with confidence.
Sure he does, yeah.
I'm not saying it's right. No. I'm just saying it's good for image.
If I had no memory and they didn't have tape of it, I would see him make any proclamation and think, oh, you've never contradicted this directly. And I'd clap my little hands and be like, hooray! But no, we know that he contradicts himself daily. And anyway, so the 40 million people in Canada, I think they need to decide whether they believe in the rule of law and justice and our justice system or not. Because it seems that they agree with it sometimes, and in some cases, but then when it comes to something they personally disagree with for racist reasons, they get all up in arms and they
well, in this case, it's not just racist, though, because he did actually kill a soldier and blind another guy. So it's not just...
And we didn't follow our own rules.
Yeah, and I think that is important.
And I think that's the problem.
I don't know enough about the subject.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, neither of us ever know. No, we don't have like...
What is the scenario you guys are talking about? I'm not familiar.
Omar Khadr was a 15-year-old and should have been considered a child soldier when he... threw a grenade that killed another soldier.
And he was a soldier for...
No, he was not a soldier. He was a child soldier,
an illegal soldier.
He had an uncle, or was it his dad or his uncle? Anyway, yeah, I think it was his dad, anyway. But yeah, took him there.
Was he a child soldier for Syria?
No, in Afghanistan.
Oh, in Afghanistan, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, sorry. So he got captured, and actually, yeah, I'll give a short version of this. So he got captured and taken to Bagram Air Force Base, where they have the little prison there. Sorry, tapping on the table. They have the prison there. They took him to Bagram, and then the United States was asking questions, and they dutifully notified Canada that, you know, they've captured somebody who's a Canadian citizen. And then they did nothing.
Canada didn't? Or
that's right. Actually, Canada did do something. They sent three spies to interrogate him while he still had this bullet wound in his chest. And actually, no, they might have fixed that by then. But they were interrogating him when he had, like, an untreated bullet wound. And he's 15.
Wow.
15 years old. But anyway.
How the hell did he get messed up in this?
His dad. You know, his dad's a terrorist. Makes legitimate sense. Terrorist. But he can speak four languages. And so he was an interpreter. And he went along and interpreted things. And then.
And threw grenades?
There was a firefight where he had to pitch in. So. Anyway, so some people.
And that's what they give him. They give him a fucking grenade. They don't give him a pistol. They're like, hey, shit's going down, Omar. Here, you man the grenades.
I don't know. But
I guess he won't.
Easier to aim, I guess.
Less chance of missing, yeah.
But yeah, anyway, so normally our rules would have applied and they would have called him a child soldier and put him in counseling and shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't. Stephen Harper decided a couple times that it was probably just best for his voters if we just kind of like let that happen.
And then he's in Guantanamo for how long?
Oh, and then he got transferred to Guantanamo for a better part of 10 years or something.
And then treated so he went obviously in inhumanely there. So
and there
he went in for as a 15-year-old, and he came out.
He's 28, Joel?
Around there, I think, yeah.
It could be. So
something like that, yeah.
He's a grown-ass man now.
Yeah, he's a he's a 26-year-old virgin. Unless you count that stuff that happened to him when all those other guys were in jail, you know?
And he spent the well, after you've spent 10 years in hard incarceration.
In Guantanamo Bay.
In Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah.
You've been tortured since you were 15.
Yes.
I was trying to feel a boob at 15. He's 31.
He's 31 now,
yeah. Fuck.
So, but anyway, so then he got transferred to Canada. And he's
the only sex he's had has been awful.
Anyway, and then so he lives in Canada with his lawyer. Now, his Canadian lawyer has been working for, I want to say, 10 years on this case. And so he's been, he's like had to sell their house and do everything and borrow all the money he could to represent Omar. But now he needs to get paid. You know, he needs that 25% or whatever of settlements that you get to pay his bills for the last 10 years. Because for the last 10 years or so, he's had no income.
So he's getting a check?
Well, no, but Cotter actually got $10 million in the lawsuit, though.
Yeah.
And then, of course, people are like, we're giving $10 million to a terrorist, and, you know, there's an uproar, and you should see it on Facebook. It's just
well, that
amazing.
Shit would,
the rage
that shit
just
would never fly in the U.S. That's the only kind of thing that Canada's legal system would do.
You know what?
Yeah.
There wouldn't be a $10 million if we called him the child soldier in the first place. And taken him back to Canada and, like, even just locked him up. There wouldn't be a $10 million thing.
Yeah, they went after him. They went after him like he was a... But then, what year did this happen?
Oh, I can't do the math.
Bad year. We need an intern to fact check.
This is true.
Brad was going to be an intern. But he's doing the website. Shout out to Brad.
Yeah.
He made this come online to you,
he
the listeners.
He did all the work.
Oh, wow. And then there's this headline, Justin Trudeau offers strongest defense yet of Omar Khadr at Calgary Stampede. So
They're bringing this up at the Stampede.
I take back the fact that he has been silent about it.
Yeah.
And what that place of all places, Calgary Stampede, wow, that kind of takes balls.
Yeah, that's not where I'd want to take this. This friendly West Coast of ours is probably where I'd run that shit.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even run that shit in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan, it might fly. I don't think they care about much.
No, they'd be like,
and the newfies have never heard of this.
They'd be like, "Oh, Trudeau's in Saskatchewan? Holy crap!"
Okay, Trevor, are you bothered by? Oh wow!
No,
the other Canadian, who got $10 million from the government for being tortured. Meher Arar, thank you. Meher Arar, are you just as indignant about that?
I don't know his backstory either.
Oh, okay,
this is why you're the current events guy.
He was a Canadian who, in this case, did absolutely nothing. He's a software engineer. And he got, picked up at the airport. And then they sent him to, I think, Syria to be tortured for like 9 months or whatever. And he didn't do anything. And, we just like ruined a guy's life because he was brown.
Yeah.
But he got, I think $9.5 million or $10 million. And that was a whole thing, too, even though he hadn't done anything.
Yeah, so this one's a little more complicated because of...
Because he
what
might
happened.
Have... Or
but now I think there's a counter... There's a suit happening of the wife, the widow of the soldier, and the guy who was blinded are
that's
trying
bananas.
To get some of this settlement
that's
for themselves.
Bananas.
And
that's ladies nuts. That's crazy. That's the craziest thing I've heard this week.
Well, you know what? Compensation...
She wants $134 million.
Compensation to a child... who still worked in a terrorist organization. Now, he's a child, and his dad put him up to it, and what else could he have done? But we arrested him for being on the...
Being
you know what?
Throwing a grenade, yeah.
So Omar there, I think... I feel awful because he's a kid, but he sounds like he's in the shit. And so... I don't know why they'd compensate somebody that caught in war. I don't imagine this happening in if we were in Afghanistan and one of our guys got caught. So, you know, they're he's involved in war. He's on our side of the world. and we don't think of it as a, and it's not direct combat, but he's involved even at 15, unfortunately. And you know what? He may have been brainwashed, but he might have been all for it.
I agree. And you know what I think we should do? Mm. I think Canada should just withdraw from all those child soldier things that they get involved in. They should say that they won't treat people a certain way. They should say, you know, they shouldn't promise that they're going to treat somebody some way and then not.
I also don't think that they should have taken a 15-year-old who was involved, obviously under the sway of his caregivers, and take him and torture him for, you know, I think calling him a child soldier, take him in, exactly what you said, is probably the right go. The other guy, why is the other guy, I can't pronounce his name, what was it?
Oh, Maher Arar.
He was under similar circumstances?
He was not in combat at all. He was traveling for work, and he got stopped at the airport in New York, and...
Oh, was he profiled?
He was profiled, yeah.
Oh, so he was wrongly arrested?
Yeah.
Yeah, he should fucking get compensated.
He did attend the...
That's bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, if he's profiled because he's racist... Adult,
so they went nuts on him.
Well, I hope he did... I hope he got compensated. If you're just traveling on work, you have no... You have as much interest in terrorist activity as I do, then that's bullshit, because that could be me.
Well, I wonder how much more of that we're going to see. I don't think Trump's helping that problem.
No, I think the travel ban, so that's on again. So, on again or off again?
It's kind of on again. The Supreme Court approved it kind of temporarily anyways.
Half of it?
Yeah. A little bit. Like a very pared down version, but it's still
still
kind of mainly a racist travel ban if you think about it. It's just to appease his supporters. Trump doesn't care either way. He doesn't really care about anything. That's what makes him so dangerous.
You see that headline said he doesn't care about AIDS? He had a group, and I think the topic was HIV/AIDS, and these two guys quit this group because they're like, no, when talking to him, you can tell he doesn't give a shit. And so, we're not going to advise the president on a topic he doesn't want to hear about.
But now he's got the... evangelists on his side, which is the scariest part. He's got people who think that the world is actually ending and that, you know, anything that's wrong with Trump is just it's just because this is a war that's going to end in the apocalypse and the coming of Christ. Like, it's a smart move and it's a scary move because it doesn't matter what happens with the Russian investigation, all this stuff, you're just going to have a evangelist saying that, well, it's God's way.
You know what? I'm gonna stop that right there because I'm sick and tired of talking about Trump.
Yeah, exactly. It happens so easily and then it takes over. So let's move on for sure.
It takes over. If I'm in a bar and like we're not even through our first drink and somebody starts talking about Trump, I shut that shit right down. I'm like, no, we're not. That's not how I'm spending my night. You know, because we all know a lot on the subject and different shit because there's so much going on. Fuck that celebrity. Political figure, but not my president. I'll go on record as saying not my president.
Yeah, it's real nice to be Canadian. Like, just traveling to Montreal there, I met a lot of really cool Americans, and they were up in Canada for July 4th. They're like, I just don't want to be in that country right now. And they're pretty jealous
celebrating July 4th because they're not feeling super patriotic.
No. So it's, you know, it is kind of, we are kind of lucky to be Canadian on that one because... Yeah,
you know what? We're super lucky to be Canadian, and we should make a bigger deal about it than we do on Canada Day. Like the Americans, they celebrate their U.S. of A., and they're famous for that, and they overdo it. They're made fun of because of America. They're the red, white, and blue. They live and breathe. But we could take a page out of their book. I mean, the strongest nations have been super proud of where they're from, and that builds unity. And of a country full of colonists, mostly, and, you know, immigrants from all over the place. And a little unity is a good thing. And celebrate the country that we're in. Celebrate what we do. I celebrate Remembrance Day. And I take my son to the cenotaph, and it's a long thing. But you know what? They usually have really nice ceremonies. And I think it's important to be a little sad for what happened. Just for a minute.
I think it's important to just kind of empathize and just picture yourself there and just, learn about it and just kind of relive it yourself because it's
for all this freedom we have. Because if we were in other countries and we rented some microphones and got a laptop and put some shit on the internet and we started talking about our country's leader, like there's some countries that shit don't fly. We can say whatever we want. I think some things might get us under looking grass. Okay, there's no way we can say anything we want. We have the illusion that we can say anything we want, and it is pretty liberal.
But we can say more than we've ever been able to in history.
To more people, easier.
Yeah.
It's not.
Is that a good thing? We'll see.
I think if I say something too strange, I don't think anybody's going to accuse me of being a witch and try to throw me in the river. So.
Well, we live in a world of strange now.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that's some free speech we didn't always have.
Because what kind of psycho, like, without promoting a career or doing anything, rents a bunch of the equipment and gets a blog on the internet just to tell people what they think, but anybody can do it.
Jim Jones could have done it. Imagine how that would have gone down.
Who's Jim Jones?
Remember, you know, some people say don't drink the Kool-Aid, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it was really Tang when they had that group suicide.
Oh, yeah?
Jonestown. Well, that was the cult leader, and he made her...
Wait, so it wasn't really Kool-Aid?
No, it was Tang.
I wonder if Kool-Aid had something to do with that news. You know, wanted the publicity.
Or maybe Tang...
They don't want that publicity. No, they do not want that publicity.
They're breaking into the market. If anybody's going to do a group suicide, Kool-Aid is your beverage of choice.
No, not Tang. Tang found out, and Tang's like, no, that was Kool-Aid. No, Kool-Aid did that shit. No, it was not Tang.
Not Jim
Tang
Jones. It's the Kool-Aid man.
Tang's a family company. Tang. Moon
juice. Went to the moon.
There you go. You see? They don't want gone to the moon and cult suicide.
They got to pick one or the other.
But anyway, this guy was so self-absorbed, he recorded the motherfucker.
Video or audio? I guess video.
No. He recorded on a reel-to-reel audio recorder. His speech talking with his congregation about whatever, like that's some self-absorbed shit.
We're recording ourselves right now. We just don't have reel-to-reel.
And we don't have a congregation.
You self-absorbed piece of shit.
It's funny because there's you should really listen to it. Somebody pressed it into a record. They did a release.
Oh,
and
wow.
You can listen to it. It's about half an hour long, the Jim Jones death tape.
I'd like to
play that alongside like a Pat Robertson sermon and see how different it is. Probably not much.
And so there
same company pressed the record, actually.
He's telling the people, Salvation we got to do this. And then there's a couple people you can hear in the crowd, like, you know, arguing with them. And it's pretty great. It's pretty great, the arguing. There's some bickering that goes on.
I forget, was it 100% compliance, or did some people say, you know what, fuck this, you know, that like the people who were arguing with him, were they just like, oh, he makes a good point. I will.
You mean of the people that drank the Kool-Aid? I got to keep saying Kool-Aid because it's just what I'm used to.
Not everybody drank the Kool-Aid.
Okay, good.
I'm not sure.
You wouldn't think that everyone would like.
I think that lady who was making good points, I think she shouldn't have.
Well, it's an interesting occult mentality.
She
you
was
can
making good points.
He should have just gone the Scientology route, killing everybody. Is probably not the best way to go. Taking their money is a better way to go.
And then using it to get the world's best lawyers. You don't fuck with Scientology.
No.
Oh, yeah, they're
he should have. Let's edit that out, actually. You know, he should. No, Jim Jones should have just made a
wait,
big,
wait.
Like.
Jeff, are you saying fuck Scientologists on record? Is that what you're saying? I'm just.
Yeah.
I'm turning up your volume.
No, so.
You'll probably be getting a subpoena tomorrow. But
there you go. Well, actually, they're going to be. Following me home.
I know, they're pissed off at Joe Rogan.
That's true. And Leah Remini. But, no, he should have made a big jug of Tang, just had it at breakfast, given a little speech at breakfast, said, yeah, guys, blah, 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 everybody come to breakfast, I'm going to make the speech, have some Tang, and then just not tell them. He should have just killed them.
But what if some people are like, I don't like Tang, and everybody knows the reason, and they're all on board with killing themselves, I mean...
Can we have some reason for a cheers so you have to drink? Because everybody knows that's the reason they say that it's rude not to drink when you cheers. It's because of the cyanide.
Well, you know what? His way worked. Just saying. Are you telling him how to kill a mass amount of people? How many mass amounts of people have you killed? He's got one up on you there.
Do you think he believed it?
No, because he didn't kill himself.
Bullshit? No, I don't believe he.
Yeah, like at all at any point.
Because that was a thing. He poisoned them, but he stayed alive, right?
Really?
Well, yeah, I don't think he drank the Kool-Aid.
Oh fuck! Oh, he shot himself, right?
Did he?
Sorry, I think he.
Oh, so he wanted to make sure everyone drank it, and then he shot himself because he's like, I don't want to die from poison. Hey, interns, shooting myself.
Can you go fact check this? Thanks. Yeah. Oh, you don't have to fact check this. It's not that big of a deal.
No, curious as hell.
Ah. I always kind of wanted to have my own cult. Maybe we should get this going through the podcast. Perhaps we could get a following.
Maybe that was your kind of subconscious intent all along.
Trevor, I think we got a better chance of getting sponsorship.
Yeah, I think we've got a pretty piss poor chance of either that. If you want to be a sponsor, please,
Kool-Aid.
You can email us at the I Never Want to Be Young Again podcast at gmail.com, and we will consider your sponsorship. I mean, bring something to the table for our legions of fans. If you want us to expose and promote your product, it doesn't even have to be a product we believe in necessarily. We will promote anything. I'm ready to sell it already. Jeff, ready to sell out?
I'll sell out to the Flat Earthers. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Flat Earth, proud sponsor of the I Never Want to Be Young Again podcast.
You know how people are saying that Joe Rogan gets paid by NASA or whatever to plug the round Earth thing? Well, okay, if that's on the table, Flat Earth, let's do it.
Okay, yeah.
It's
yeah.
absolutely flat. I'll prove it.
You're ice wall, idiot. Holding us all in.
You're an idiot. Ice wall. Polar bears, machine guns.
Like, everybody's in on it. All drank, the pilots,
you,
all the...
You drank the cool. You got the wool over yeah. your eyes, Trevor.
I was using Google tang. Earth, man. That must have taken a while, but yeah.
But
that's...
who writes the check? Like, who are the people paying Joe Rogan? Because there must be an equivalent position from the...
Oh, you mean the forces, the Globists.
The problem is they don't have nearly as much money.
Globists?
Globists?
Globists.
No, but I mean, because you know what people say, that it's just the round Earth lobby is paying him. But like, who's the guy paying him? Because I got to find that guy to get paid. And I don't think anybody knows the guy's specific name because they're always being so vague and they're saying it's them.
Just throwing it out there, Flat Earthers and Globists, it's whoever gets to us first, okay? Or writes the biggest check. If you want us to promote your idealism,
we'll
which we will.
We'll take this episode down and we'll re-record it.
You know what? We'll actually record our next episode at the edge of the earth where we'll prove it's flat. Yes, everybody can listen in and hear us at the edge of the earth, proving the earth is flat.
You know, I went on an Alaskan cruise. I saw it from my own eyes.
So what about anti-vaxxers? Will you go there?
Oh, yeah, fuck.
Let's not say if Megatron's vaxxed or not. But
no, he's absolutely vaccinated. I am not.
You're not selling out on that.
I'll gamble autism on fucking polio. You know, it's.
You know what?
But sponsors, no.
Well, you know what?
Is autism the worst thing?
Honestly, the medical.
I think we're all on the. Many of us are on the spectrum, and it's not that obvious to the public.
Big Pharma is going to pay us more than the anti-vaxxers ever will. Just saying, Big Pharma. We'll accept you as a sponsor.
You know what?
Yeah, I'm having some aspirin right now. I just like the taste.
You know what? Took some Alka-Seltzer, some Advil, Viagra later with the missus.
Oh, not and, before? Oh, shit.
Viagra, proud sponsor of the I Never Want to Be Young Again podcast.
I got a bag, like, I got 50 or 100 of these, like, knockoff ones from a friend. And so sometimes I'll just like take half a one or something like that and just go to the mall and just fucking
what?
Roll the dice.
What? You
just go to the mall. Just like
you take
see,
erection medication and go out in public?
Am I going to get an erection in public? It's like a fun little game.
It's like a fun little game that might result in a sex crime.
No, that's not a sex crime.
Well, you know
there
what?
Is do you think there's a rule that says you're not
sex crime is very broad. I'm not calling you a rapist.
Your erection in your pants?
I'm not actually calling you a rapist.
I didn't think you were.
Depends
no,
on what you're wearing, though.
Rapist, but,
if you're wearing sweatpants, you might get in trouble. Like
trouble? What's the charge, officer?
I can
indecent shapes walking around.
You know what?
Your imagination. No, these are denim, and that's a pants boner. Everybody gets that with jeans,
especially when you're tired. I hate those.
Well, Jeff, if I think I just learned about how well you're hung tonight because. If you were packing, you wouldn't be playing that game.
Burn.
Yes, I got you there.
So
did it take five episodes for the first dick joke or like the?
I think that might have been the first dick joke.
I don't know.
That's pretty good. Wow. Yeah.
I think day one when our female co-host was still showing up, I think we probably had a lot of dick jokes that day.
Oh, we talked about her vagina on the first episode she didn't show up to. We burned her pretty bad.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jessica.
In her vagina. Allegedly.
You know, I was going to start this episode with a list of people that weren't our sponsors. Because we don't have any. I forgot to, but I was going to be like, Coca-Cola, not a sponsor of the I Never Want to Be Young Again podcast. Who else isn't a sponsor? Burton, not a sponsor at all of the I Never Want to Be Young Again podcast. And I'd like to give a shout out to Royal Bank of Canada for, again, not being not a sponsor. No checks from Royal Bank of Canada. We know you've got the money.
For the short hold times, guys, just saying.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm trying to suck up a bit. Come on.
Oh, yeah. You bank with them. I've cut you off. Sorry, Royal Bank, you aren't getting my money. I'm giving my money to another evil corporation. So what else we got here? Jeff, do you have a current event section?
Oh, I thought we already talked about that.
You did a lot of current events. It wasn't given. I was thinking about getting you intro music, but if you're going to pepper it into the conversation, it's not going to...
No, I think you just kind of, like, chopped it in there.
Yeah? What about you, Joel? Do you have somewhere you want to take us from another time? Take us back into your youth?
Well, we're starting a little late for a story like that, but...
We got like 8 minutes to kill.
So I can sum it up?
And after I edit this down, I think we need to do like another 15 minutes.
So this actually kind of ties to Jeff's mall comment. The way the story ends is... It was one of the more interesting stories of my life.
You're going to Tarantino it? You're going to tell us the end first and then go back and tell the beginning?
No, I don't want to
ruin it. I'm down with it. That's awesome. Talking about my boner day?
Well, it's more about, I'll leave it at that and just start the story. I don't know if I've told you this one before. That's kind of why I wanted to mention it.
Okay, yeah.
This is...
story time.
So it was Austin's birthday and... we were all 19.
All right.
Just allowed to drink. You know how that much freedom that provides when you can actually go into bars.
So everybody's out of high school, right? Freshly out of high school?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so...
And shout out to Austin.
Won't say his last name. Mm. And he wasn't a major part of the story anyways that night. We go out, we're young, we know everything. We're cocky and we're angry and we're confused and we just go out on the town. We're already drunk from the house.
I like how this starts. Yeah, good.
And we end
full
up...
Full of testosterone and beer. Got it.
Yeah. And we go, you know, the Legacy. We descend on Cloverdale. There's the Legacy there and there's the country bar next to the Legacy.
Okay, for those who don't know Cloverdale back in the 90s, the Legacy was the worst strip bar you've ever been in that I loved. The old man, the grumpy old man, he worked 7 days a week.
I know.
Sometimes the DJ like ran the bar, but I think that's was when he had dinner, yeah. Right? Like he was miserable and he worked there. Go on, you're going to the Legacy, the beat up.
Well, we ended up next to the Legacy. We didn't get into the Legacy, so we're at this country bar, and we don't really like our country. Obviously, back then we're kind of like. Are morally against country music, but it was a place to drink beer.
More of principle than actual hate of the music, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
When you're young, you like hate things just because you're supposed to.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's some country I like.
Exactly. But at the time, these days, I could tolerate it a lot more.
Oh, they're playing country. Oh, fuck. And everybody around you who likes country is like, what are these idiots doing here if they don't like country? It's a country bar. But you're like, $3 beers. All right, we'll drink here
exactly. And
listen to country.
There's eight of us that walk in there, and it's very clear that we're not terribly welcome right away. And it's probably because of our, you know...
And did the age group in the bar go from you guys at 19 and then a bunch of people at 50?
It was 35 to 60 kind of thing. And we're like, oh, man, this is kind of awkward. Like, okay, we're drinking a beer. Like, what should we do? How can we make this better? And we're pretty drunk. We're like, oh, let's sing karaoke because they had karaoke going. We're like, none of us had done it before. So eight of us, like, let's sing karaoke. What country song do you know? I'm like, oh, we all know Friends in Low Places, right?
Yeah, Garth Brooks.
We all knew the chorus.
Shout out Garth Brooks.
like some of us not even that. We're like, oh, it can't be much more than just the chorus, right? So we all just stumble up there, yeah.
Well, that's why. Oh, wait. Are all eight of you doing the song?
Yeah,
at once?
we had it all of us up there.
You were the most annoying guys in the bar.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Yeah. So we learned that was like the first lesson I learned that night. Like, if you don't fit in a bar, don't go up on the stage and like destroy one of their beloved songs. But we ended up doing that. And then there's like, I don't know if some people thought like we figured this is a low place and we were singing about them either, but
the song was making them angry.
Oh, they were getting angry. We're getting booze.
No, they just love Garth Brooks. You're
yeah, yeah. We're like, oh my God, we totally forgot about the first part of the song. We just try to keep up. We figured that our eight average voices would kind of
merge into one,
or they would average into like a tolerable voice. But
before you walked up,
so.
You thought this was gonna be awesome, didn't you?
Yeah,
and you were drunk,
like, you
super.
Know,
you're like, we're gonna nail this.
Well, we were drunk. We knew everything. We were cocky, and so we pretty much get booed out of the bar. This is not like the
just
whole
saying,
the story.
I,
this is kind
I never
of what want started to
be
it.
Again. Just saying, you know.
I've never even seen that before. I wish I was there.
Yeah, we were just we just destroyed
Bailey's?
It.
It's called Bailey's, the adjacent to the strip club.
I mean, I've never seen people get booed out of somewhere before.
Yeah, they booed us off stage, and then we weren't welcome anymore. We're like, okay. So we're like, okay, well, that was a fail, but whatever, fuck them. We still knew everything. We're just a little embarrassed, a little bit emotional energy. We're going by the Clova, and I see this movie poster, and I don't think I liked the movie. I don't remember what it was, though. And I'm just like, and I just punch it, right? Just a little bit, let a little angst out, just punch the plexiglass, whatever. Just like,
you guys are living up the 19-year-old male stereotype.
Yeah,
you're punching glass.
So badly. Plexiglass. And so I'm like, okay, whatever. That didn't really do anything, but I guess it kind of felt good. And then I just hear Matt is behind me, and he punches it as well, but he gets a full-on running start. Smash! His hand goes through it, right?
Oh.
And just... smashes this
Was it? You keep saying plexiglass, or was it glass?
I think it was plexi because he smacked a hole in it. It wasn't like very strong plexi, but
like that plastic when the sun eats away at a time makes it brittle. So after some years, it'll be brittle.
And that was
because it didn't shatter
old.
Like glass at all. It was just like but it surprised me. Yeah. And you know, and
asshole,
he gave it all. He gave it all.
I used to love the Clova, just saying.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Clova Theater in Clovedale.
Shout out, yeah, you know.
And
that'd
the
be
Legacy.
A, that'd be a great
both
sponsor.
Both closed down, fucking.
You know, it's too bad.
Good,
yeah.
Clovedale DNA right there.
All right, shout out to the Henry then. Come on, sponsor us, guys.
Nah, fuck the Henry. I went in there the other day. I couldn't feel older. No. Everybody was like good looking on steroids, and the girls' asses, all they do is squats.
Oh,
it's
my God.
That's a pub that everybody treats like a club.
Well, it's all Cloverdale's got.
I miss Legacy.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Henry. We'll accept your sponsorship grudgingly.
So this woman follows us out of the bar soon after because she's like, I bet those guys are up to no good. And, of course, she was right.
And
she's like, what are you doing? Okay. She comes out just as he smashes the glass. She's like, what are you guys doing? And she's like, we're just like, whatever. Don't worry about it. She's like, I'm calling the cops. We're like, fuck off, and just kept going, right? Because we still knew everything, and we just kind of kept on down the road. And so another lesson I learned is, like, people mean it when they say they're going to call the cops. we end up at the gas station. We're just getting some snacks at the 7-Eleven on the way back on, the corner there. And then, boom, we get out of the station. The cops are there. And they see Matt's hand, it's bloody. He's in the cop car right away. Oh my gosh. He's like, all right, everyone else show us their hands. And mine was a little red. He's like, what's that about? And so I launch into, like, another thing I learned is I'm never going to be a lawyer because I launch into this great defense of Matt. I thought, I'm like, no, this is why and all this stuff. And then, boom, I'm in cuffs. I'm in cuffs right after. Like, okay,
you're
shoot.
Like, you should have said this is nothing. What's up?
Yeah, but I'm like, I can talk my way out of this. And I couldn't. And then so he leads me up to the cop car and opens the door. And I see Matt. He's got a big smile on his face. I'm like, what's going on? And he pushes my head in, and I sit next to Matt. And he's like, I've got a Kit Kat bar. I'm like, oh, yeah. So I look at him. He's got it behind his back, and we work together. And we eat this whole Kit Kat bar while the cops interrogating everyone else. We're just like, yeah. And so then that's another lesson I learned. Like, it's all about the small victories. We're like, well, whatever, man. We did this.
And you guys split a Kit Kat bar.
Yeah, and then
that's
we.
A moment, and you made the best out of that situation.
Exactly. Yeah, my spirits were right back up.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, it's a badge of honor to get arrested when you're that age. Like, it was my first time.
Be several hours.
Right when you're adult, right when it means something. If you gotten arrested a year earlier, it wouldn't have been a big deal. Yeah.
Well, but we knew this was like drunk tank, though. This wasn't like.
You might have to pay. You might have to pay for repairs. That's like the worst. It's a misdemeanor at best. But good on Matt for just like because you might have been worried, and as soon as he said that, you're like. Oh, yeah, this isn't a big deal. Like, it helped you center yourself, didn't it? Like,
yeah. Well, I was already drunk enough to be like,
and you're like, I'm hungry, so he's got a Kit Kat bar. I'm glad.
It did lift the spirits of both of us. Yeah. But it also made us cocky again.
Wait, did you have to feed it to each other because you were in cuffs?
Yeah. So it was like, that's what I mean. It was this whole process. Like, leading at just like, yeah, that's friendship. Like, that's. Yeah, you know, they could have made a commercial.
It would have been gold.
Sponsor
if,
us, Kit Kat.
Proud sponsor of the I Never Want to Be Young Again podcast, Kit Kat. I can imagine the cops coming back and like one of you got chocolate all over your faces and one's feeding the other and they're like,
we're like, joke's on you.
Fuck. You know what? And if you just keep eating and keeping eye contact, like, what? I'll nom nom nom.
You're going to come back
here? We got the chocolate.
Yeah.
You guys are shitty cops.
Well, that's kind of the way it went because that gave us a bit of a sugar rush again and we're like, still feeling. You know, feeling like top of the world. He's driving us along. We were kind of giving him a hard time. We're just like, we don't have seatbelts. You're speeding, blah, blah, blah. Smart ass. And the guy's just like, shut up. We're just really pissing him off. So he's planning some kind of punishment for us when we get to Surrey.
And you're going to smash your faces.
Did that a bit, but we just kind of laughed.
He's going to say, oh, is that a cat? Slam on the brakes. You guys going to hit your heads. You're going to shut up.
We deserved it, but it didn't quite.
But that's the move. If we were
you know, they knew you were just drunk teenagers, though. They're not gonna billy club you for that. You might tell your parents, you know. If they're gonna beat up somebody, it's gonna be like a vagrant, a bum, a gangbanger, shit like that.
Well, they did.
White young suburban kids don't really get the hardest of the cops.
No, exactly.
In BC.
Yeah, and I don't know. We were taking advantage of that, I guess. We eventually get to the police station. And they did have, that guy did have some angst reserved, but the thing was Matt was still taking a running start on everything, right? He was the drunkest of the two of us. And I'm like, okay, the gig's kind of up. We're at the station. Now I'm just going to kind of cooperate because what else, you know, it's not going to help me otherwise.
You don't know a whole lot of
moves
here.
I'm just like, okay, yeah, exactly. So I'm like, okay. So I just stand in line and I give him my shoes and I give him my hoodie strings so I don't hang myself or whatever. Meanwhile, Matt is getting strip searched in the other room.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, strip searched. And,
well, they
want to
make sure he didn't have any more
day.
Kit Kat bars. They're like, didn't know where he's keeping those Kit Kat bars. Yeah. Let's
is that
let's
a Kit Kat bar? I don't know. But
we've had you down before. You must have been crotching it.
And I'm giving him the string for my hoodie, and I remember clear as day looking over, and Matt's running out of the room in his underwear. He's like, they're like, get back here.
He snuck off just like.
Yeah, so he's the lightning rod for all of their anger at this point. They just send me to a cell. He goes to the piss tank, which is actually, you know, just four other guys in a drain, and that's it, right?
Oh.
Yeah, and I actually get a cell with a, you know, kind of a wall built into the bed and a toilet, which kind of turned into
my
undoing.
Did you get a good Yelp review or what? Like, three stars, would stay there again, you know?
But yeah, the toilet ended up being the issue because I wake up in the morning and I look up and there's this gym mat that's laying against the wall and I'm sleeping on this hard bed. I'm like, oh, well, that would have been better, I guess. But I guess it didn't matter. I just forgot to bring that down. But the guy's like, I smelled chicken pot pie and the guy opens the food thing. He's like, chicken pot pie's here, or lunch is here, and your buddies are here too. I'm like, oh, sweet, that's a good way to wake up. So I just get up, grab the chicken pot pie.
As good a way of waking up in jail is. That's a pretty good way.
Yeah, I just grab the chicken pot pie, he opens the door, and I'm eating it. And I'm like, sweet, I'm going to the station. Like, this isn't a bad way to start the day. But I'm like, after a few bites, and we get halfway through the station, I'm like, man, something feels weird. And I'm like, you know, something is way off, and it's not just because this is my first time in a cop station. And I'm like, no, it's actually breezy in here. I'm like, what could that be? I'm like, oh shit. And turns out like I had tried to save time. I was wearing those boxes with the vent in them with the button. And I had just unzipped and took a leak the night before and then just went back to bed. And then I woke up and I just went and grabbed this chicken pot pie.
So are you saying that this entire time?
I've walked through the police station with my wang hanging out.
Nice. So nice.
Dick out. You could imagine like the heart dropping. I'm just like, oh, shit. And, you know, fortunately, there's a lot of cops there, but they all had their own thing going on.
So what did you do
like,
first? Did you tuck in or you finish the pie?
I saw a garbage can and I just kind of ducked over to it. And in one motion, I just kind of like put it in the garbage can, zipped and did kind of a spin.
So like everybody who like gave you food, oh, maybe they noticed and never told you. Maybe they're like, oh, this hungover fucking asshole.
I'm going to go on a limb and say that's par for the course.
They're just like another guy with his cock out.
Just like, you know, Jeff leaves his cock in and whips his balls out. But that was, you know, yeah.
But yeah, the guy escorted.
And just so everybody knows, he's done this entire podcast. Jeff's balls have been out.
Yeah, where's Jessica? I usually like to do it to her.
I don't know. Jessica's not here recording a podcast. I can say that much. Mm. Shout out to Jessica.
Shout out.
Love that. Yeah,
I'm glad that it worked out the way it did. And I'm the only guy I know who can say he had his wang up for a whole cop station. But
this whole thing sounds like a positive experience.
It would have been interesting, the interview after that, if they, you know, things could have turned out differently. So I still have a lesson to learn from that is, you know, check your fly before you leave a jail cell, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's the most important one, kids.
Well, you know what? I got to thank you. That was really good, Joel. That makes up an hour, though. We're good. That was a good way to finish the podcast. I just want to say again, if you want to email us, send us your hate mail at ineverwantabeyoungagain@gmail.com. Look us up on Facebook, I Never Want to Be Young Again Podcast, and share us, rate us well. If you're going to rate us low, just fuck off. And you can check us out on the website, ineverwantabeyoungagainpodcast.com. Thank you very much, and we will see you next week. My wife sells cheese on the internet. I think about her sister when we're intimate. Her family and friends, they don't like me anymore, because I threatened all her brothers with an antique sword on your back. You know, I could, I've been listening to this song a couple of times since we saw the movie.
Why wouldn't you?
You know, they've got other stuff too. It's not nearly as good though. Yeah, yeah, they're the Rubber Bandits.
It is quality.
Yeah, proud sponsor of the I Never Want to Be Young Again podcast. Next week on the I Never Want to Be Young Again podcast, Bernie Sanders. We're reaching out to Bernie Sanders. So talk to you all next week.